Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Glad to see you all over on the spiritual side and not on the... Question, do you believe that God gives you difficulties in your lives to show His glory?
Absolutely.
We'll have a prayer this morning on exactly that. And let's open with a word of prayer. And then we want to sing, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." The words are on the top of the first page this week, and we can sing along four short verses. And then at the end today, we're going to sing just a praise song, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified," because that's really the whole thrust of this particular prayer we're going to be looking at, is to glorify the Lord through our lives and through the difficulties and so forth in our lives. Father, we thank You that we can gather in Your name this morning. We thank You for the invitation of coming boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith, Lord. Lord, we know there are different needs right here in this room, but Lord, we want to not only pray for those, but we want to pray for needs in even an outer-looking way, really, of the church here, of the churches around this area, of the churches throughout the world, really, of the believers throughout the world, and even in a sense more urgent for the unbelievers or those who have not yet turned to You yet. And Lord, they are in desperate, desperate, desperate need of prayer. And those who are believers, even if they have the imminent cancer or whatever, they are about to enter into glory, and we praise You for the promise and the hope of eternal life, which You have purchased for us by Your blood. So this morning, Lord, we want to just begin by singing to You, Holy Spirit, to breathe on us, fill us with life anew. So guide us, and may the motives of our hearts be pure. And Lord, if there's sin that we need to bring before You this morning personally, just to get that cleansing and to get that right with You, so we can pray with clarity and know that the prayers will, in a sense, go right through the roof through your power. Lord, I confess of my sin and the flesh and the pride and the arrogance and all of that filth that's there, and I just thank You that Your blood cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. So we thank You and know that if we do confess, You are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So lead us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So breathe on me, breath of God. The notes are on the top of the page. And just for your information, there's a restroom right next door here in the fellowship hall, and I'm going to try to have that door always unlocked. The right door, not the left one, the right door. It's like this where you put the thing in and unlock it. So, you know, small group, please, if you have a reason for whatever to go to the restroom, take off. Don't you don't have to, you know, ask. And you won't interrupt us at all, in a sense. So just be aware of that. So, breathe on me, breath of God. Let's sing along with the Hosanna chorus here.
Breathe on me, breath of God.
Well, today as we go through the Bible, continuing in the prayers in the Bible, we are in the Gospel of John in the 11th chapter, and we have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And we know the story here. Last week we had the healing of the nobleman's son, which was healed at a distance because Jesus was in Cana of the Galilee, and the person who was sick was down about 27 miles away in Capernaum, and Jesus said, "Your son lives." And we saw that space does not prevent the power of Jesus. And today we will see another really miracle, and death does not deter the power of Jesus. And so Jesus left Canaan and went down to the Jordan River in the area where John had been baptizing. That's near Jericho, we believe. Enon, I think it's called. And while he and the disciples were there, he got word that his good friend Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, all from Bethany, a place where he normally would stay when he was in the Jerusalem area, apparently, was very sick and for Jesus to come quickly. So Jesus got in his helicopter and went. Is that what we read? No, Jesus actually delayed 2 days without doing anything. You say, well, you know, somebody's about to die. Jesus can heal him. When we see people about to die, don't we really, in some cases, get on our knees? Oh, Lord, don't take them, don't take them, don't take them. I'm not so sure that's the best prayer. If they're unbeliever, yes. But if they're a believer, you know, go home. It's much better than where we are here, you know. Well, you don't understand all the responsibilities I have. I'm such an important person. You know, I don't think the world can get along without me. I got to stay here. It might be my point of view, which is not true. When God calls you, you go, right? And so Jesus stays. He doesn't even start probably about a two-day walk to get up the hill there. It's about 17 miles or 15 to 17 miles, but you go up about 3,000 feet or maybe a little more. And so he then finally begins to leave. And of course, the disciples were saying what's happening and so forth. And he says that Lazarus is sleeping. And of course, they mistook that. And they said, that means he's resting. That's good. And then later, Jesus says, no, Lazarus died. And so, of course, Thomas is freaked out because they're trying to kill Jesus. He's on his last leg now of his ministry, going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. And so Thomas says, oh, well, we'll go to die too, you know, if we go to Jerusalem. But they do leave. And of course, then as they are approaching Bethany, Martha runs out and sees Jesus coming. And she's pretty harsh with him. She, in a sense, I can understand, you know, if you were waiting for Jesus, and this is now at least 4 days, because he's been in the tomb now 4 days. If you were waiting for Jesus to come heal someone who's nearest and dearest to you, and, you know, you don't have a phone or a fax machine or an email, you don't know where he is, but you're watching and you're hoping, and I hope he's here. I hope now Lazarus dies and he's already in the tomb. But they do hear or see the disciples coming, I guess, I don't know. So she runs out. And I think she is maybe a little bit excited in her statement here in verse 21. It says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I'm sure that's a true statement. But now we start to see Jesus' statement, which he made to the disciples earlier, that it is good that Lazarus dies. Why? That the Lord may be glorified. The purpose now in raising him from the dead will be to give God glory. That's what's happening here. So we have, in a sense, a terrible event of somebody dying, apparently earlier on. I mean, it didn't sound like he's old age. And yet that event is going to be used for God's glory. So the events in your life, as we read this and think about this, what events in your life are bringing God glory? Are the problems in your life just causing you to have a perpetual pity party and you go around telling everybody how rough your life is and how hard you have it and, oh, woe is me? Is that your life? I pray it's not, but that's some of our lives some of the time, probably, right? But Can you see God's glory in you looking back now on problems you've had in your life? And I think the answer is pretty much always absolutely. So Jesus then meets Martha, and she says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So notice she is a woman of faith. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And now Jesus makes this radical, radical, radical statement to her. Jesus said what? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. Keep that, do you believe this, in mind, because this is the key question for all of us, and particularly for the unbelievers when they say, oh yeah, I know Jesus, I know God. But do they really know that he's the resurrection and the life? Do they know that he is the one that though they may die, he will cause us to live eternally with him? We're all going to live eternally. We're eternally created in that we're in God's image. We're either going to live with him or we're away from him. And you don't want to live eternally away from him in torment for eternity. I mean, it's just hideous. So we want to live with him. Well, then she goes secretly to call Mary to come out, who was in the house to where Jesus had stopped there coming into Bethany, apparently. And so then they said, he's something about Lazarus, and he said, well, he's in the tomb. And so they go to the tomb then, and we read in verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, she said the same thing, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. He saw her and all the Jews weeping. He groaned in the spirit, and he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And then he wept. I think that's over their unbelief. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. I don't think he was really weeping over the death of Lazarus. And then some of the Jews said, see how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in the spirit, in himself, or groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, and said to him, Lord, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, or in the old King James says, it stinketh. There is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. In 4 days, a body is really starting to decay. It's really starting to stink. And any of you who have been around a dead body, if you ever go into a room where somebody died and they were there for a while. I mean, it's a smell that just is different than kind of any other smell, it would seem. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what's at play here, God's glory. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. So Jesus has already prayed, you have heard me. This is a past tense. He's already prayed, probably on the way up or when he was there in Jericho or wherever. But you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But why is he praying now in public? Because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that why? That they may believe that you sent me. So he's praying for the benefit of those around him. And verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And of course we know that when he calls, he uses our name, he uses Lazarus' name, and if he wouldn't have, I guess the whole, all those buried would have come out of there. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Notice here, Jesus, the Lord, does things for us that nobody else can do. But there are things in this world that man can do that he allows man to do. Man can unwrap the grave clothes. So Jesus didn't supernaturally just take him out of those grave clothes. He let man do it. And there are things for you and I to do. He has things for you and I to do that he could do much easier, but he lets us do them all as a part of bringing God's glory. And so then we know they later had a dinner and so forth for him. And we see then that his, of course, name and reputation was greatly enhanced, and glory was given to God for this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. So, in summary then, God used this, in a sense, terrible problem, this terrible occurrence in the life of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus to a degree, I guess, to bring God glory. And so, whatever you're going through today, as soon as you can, try to find out what the Lord is showing you, why you're there, and rather than say, get me out of it, Lord, pray that he would, that you would recognize his presence in going through it with you, and that the whole object is to bring him glory. And that's what we want to do all the time, isn't it? We want to even glorify him this morning in our prayers, when we want to just pray to him. So we'll pray for a few minutes in a group. Now keep your prayers short. If you prayed once, unless you've got such a burning that you've got to pray again, just pray one time so more can pray, because we only have a few minutes. And if one prays two or three times, that is just isn't quite right for those others who... And don't be afraid for some silence. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to hear from the Spirit. So just because it's silent for 10, 15, 30 seconds, don't say, well, I got to say something. No, you don't got to say anything unless the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart to say something, right? And then personal prayers we'll cover at the end part of the hour when we break into little groups of two or three people. That's the time to lift up personal requests, okay? Well, Father, we thank you for this glorious account of the fact that you are the resurrection and the life, and that, Lord, you cause us to live, you cause us to die. And yet, Lord, we know that we will never die if we believe in you. We will live forever with you. And we don't know all about heaven, but we know it's a glorious place. And just to be in your presence, Lord, because in these bodies we cannot. In these bodies absent from the Lord, but of course absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so, Lord, here we are, many, many around us, who don't know you, who are headed for hell, Lord, and we want to pray for them. We want to pray for our leaders. We want to pray for the church, and we just want to pray as you would lead us to pray, Lord. So lead us now by your Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name.